Chicago. Welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. We'll take you to 3. Hand it off to our good buddy Phil Benatti. His fine show behind the bench for 90 minutes today. Major Wager Monday at 5 o'clock. Doubleheader of basketball, Fresno State and Fresno Pacific coming up on 790, the Fresno Pacific broadcast. I'll tell you all about the schedules a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, again, and a great, great supporter at Fresno State, and very happy about what happened over the weekend in Boise. And as far as Precision Civil Engineering goes, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Paul with me as always on a Monday to talk about what happened in Boise, and as importantly, and maybe more so now, going forward, what the Bulldogs are looking at. Before we get there, however, I want to spend some time with our lead dogs, and we'll do that right now. First, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time every day to bring you the weather. Again, more information, 825-5337, which is 825-Lees or leesair.com on the web. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how Paul comes up on the show and how Phil not only has his guests, but also callers from the general public. So mark that down, 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. Lee's has been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. As far as the weather goes, it's still absolutely perfect. 81 today, the lows in the mid to high 50s, 79 tomorrow. Watch out for the fog in the outlying areas. And then we take a big drop from 79 on Tuesday to 68 on Wednesday. And by midday, there is a legit chance of showers a little bit more to the north than in the metro area. We may see a tenth to maybe 2/10 of an inch around the Fresno area, up in the reaches of the northern part of the valley. You may see somewhere around a half to maybe 3/4 of an inch. We'll see how that plays out. That will take place through the afternoon on Wednesday into Thursday morning, maybe, and then by the time we get to midday on Thursday, everything out of here and back to sunshine, and to a 72 and then a 71, 70 on Saturday, game day for Fresno State. Of course, we'll come around the bend in another week as another bye week is rolling around, and then 76 on Sunday. So you can't ask for anything more than this, except, of course, for the fog. Although, as we've talked and people know growing up here, when you get in the mid-40s and the dew point collides with those temperatures, that's when you get the blanket of fog. Right now it's more to the outlying areas, but be careful regardless. Anyway, a good 7 days. Thanks to Lee's again for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. Lee'sAir.com, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, or 825-5337, which is 825-Lee's. The other reminders, one from our good friends at KFC, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Want to remind you that right now they have the throwback to the 90s, the original honey barbecue flavor on everything on the menu. Chicken sandwiches, tenders, and of course the crispy golden pieces you know and love. Deals on 2, 3, and 4-piece meals. Also the chicken sandwich, still just $3.99. The two long-standing offers are still there as well. The Tuesday $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer is there. And Wednesday, the $5.99 country fried steak is also on the docket. Terrific people. They have supported athletics up and down the valley. Stop on in and see them. Pick up the original honey barbecue flavoring right now through at least the start here of November, and we'll see how long. They started on October 6th with this. We'll see how long they go. It's a limited time, a great throwback, and it's just a terrific way to grab lunch or dinner or whatever you'd like at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop in, tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this great valley of ours. And then the final reminder comes courtesy of another terrific benefactor at Fresno State, and that's Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating his 25th anniversary at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Joe, a local stalwart, really, in this valley for now 3 decades, helping Fresno State, a native son of the valley. family-friendly business. Anything you need in regard to pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's there. If you're someone who works at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, tanker delivery person, working around a boiler, anybody who relies upon a valve, if it goes down, your business can come crashing down with it in a big hurry. Stop on in at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give Joe or Gabe, who works for Joe, a call, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Any problem you have, tell Joe about it. He'll analyze the situation on a same-day basis, get you the estimate, and get started on the solution. If you're just now taking the hit, he'll make sure it's minimal. If you've already had a big problem, he'll get you up and running as quickly as possible. Great family business. And so if you stop in after Joe is done analyzing your situation and helping you out, he will ask if you have a few minutes. If you do, he will tell you exactly what he's done for Fresno State in the way of being a booster to try to level the playing field for Fresno State, and will tell you the best avenue right now for a donation. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Major giving societies have a header that enables you to check out the Green V Society or Myers Champion Circle. And then under ways to give, you have the other methods of support that'll delineate how you can give. Valley Co-op is there, critically important to the success of everything at Fresno State going forward. And then finally, the sports clubs. We talk about it every day. Your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Again, the doubleheader tonight at SMZ with Fresno Pacific in. Jack Furtick will be with me on Wednesday to talk about what happens tonight. He's on the board of directors, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack has said they'd love more members. So you call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email if you prefer, FurtickJack@AOL.com. Also links for other sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports as well under sports clubs. And there is one other link, and that is the link that has more, which will give you just that, more information, tickets and parking, other things on campus, all of that under the header, GoBulldogs.com, and donate. And we thank Joe Cruz again for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State, and we appreciate everything Joe has done for the university. Same applies to Ed Dunkel and Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you more about Ed a little bit later on when we go over the schedule. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and, of course, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All right, we now turn to the longtime voice here, Bulldogs, and longtime friend of ours, Paul Leppler, and longtime visitor on this show over 25 years. Before we get to Paul, and we're going to get to the emails, guys, a whole bunch of us have to kind of jump them together here a little bit. I have gotten a lot of emails from Dodger fans. I am not going to spend some time with this except to say congratulations on another World Series victory, a thrilling seven-gamer, and I just hope that all of you Dodger players out there will see fit to give a full share to Kiner Falefa for enabling you to win a World Series with the worst secondary lead I've ever seen in my life, with a slow break from third, and then a foot slide, sliding straight in instead of standing up, which is what you do when you have a force play at the plate, or headlong. Do not go in feet first, because then your foot is above the plate and someone like Smith has a chance to miss the plate the first time and get it the second time, and you cost the entire country of Canada a World Series. But congrats, Dodgers. Not that I'm bitter. Okay, that having been said, we bring Paul up right now. Paul, how you doing?
Wow. Don't even know what to say to that. But Tony, there are so many plays in Game 7.
I know.
It could have changed the outcome, right? So many more. And I felt the heartbreak of all my Canadian brothers and sisters. And my brother's been in Canada for the last 30 years. His boys, you know, the French-Canadian is their first language. I felt the weight of that. When you're a fly ball away from tying it up and the only thing you can't have is a double play and you get a broken bat double play, that was rough. But, you know, that's baseball. And hats off to the Dodgers. You had several people who really showed what every team wants, which is someone willing to go above and beyond to make it happen. And never been a Dodger fan. Certainly my favorite Dodger of all time is Vin Scully. But hats off to a team that became a team and won it all, right? I mean, there were other teams with big payrolls. There were other teams with opportunities. But they found a way to get it done. And someone as classy as Clayton Kershaw to go out on top that way, to have, what Yamamoto and Ohtani did throughout the series, it was impressive. And hats off to that organization. And Dave Roberts is a really good guy.
Well, okay, I'm bitter, of course, because I'm a Giants fan. And so I do this, A, because I mean it, and A-plus because it hacks off guys like Paul and Paso Robles, who can go ahead and email me anytime. Now, and am I jealous? Yes, and bitter, of course. But two things. One, by and large, that group of Dodgers right now, really good guys. You're right about that. Guys like Teoscar Hernandez, actually, at one point a Grizzly. They are a good group, and Dave Roberts is as solid a human being as you're ever going to meet. So, yeah, look, they deserve to win. Crushing loss. I wish it would have been different. It wasn't. The only thing I will say, and we'll move to the matter of Fresno State, while they played the montage of Game 7 deciders, they had, of course, to stick Bobby Richardson catching McCovey's line drive in. They just had to do it, and there were probably only five of us who knew exactly what it was. But the minute I saw it, I had that sick feeling that I was back in kindergarten, and I had ditched kindergarten because all the rain delays in that 62 series. And when I got back, they had taken my blanket, my chair, and my triangle away from me because they thought I wasn't coming back. Had I known Paul, kindergarten was voluntary, I never would have come back. So I'm telling you, it brings up bad, bad memories from a long time ago. Congratulations, Dodger fans. And I called Marcus right away. I was letting him have it, by the way, during the game itself. All right, that's enough of that. By the way, one other addendum to baseball, though I've been asked this. I believe they'll name the MVP on November 13th. They wait way too long to do this. And keep in mind, that voting took place before the postseason started. So we'll see if it's Aaron Judge, as you and I talked, Paul. The stats are there, whether the sentiment goes to Raleigh or whether we see what we saw in 1979, which was multiples in one league. We'll see what happens. But you are correct in saying Aaron deserves it, and I hope he does get it. We'll find out a little over a week. All right, Paul, let's turn our attention to Saturday. I've got to look at this through the prism of what you and I talked about in 2014. The Bulldogs had a flat spot, major flat spot, as we headed to November in 2014. But things turned in a way that if they ran the table, they were going to get there, and they did get to the title game in Boise and played a very competitive game before losing. Here we had a Fresno State team that it looked like after the loss to San Diego State that it might be over for them. But, Paul, they went in and won a game that they needed to win. Some other things happened to their benefit, UNLV losing to New Mexico, for instance, Hawaii losing to San Jose State. I would make the case to you that even though there's a lot of machination still to come, if the Bulldogs win their last three, they're going to find themselves in that title game more than likely at Snapdragon. Do you believe sincerely that this team can put three more on the board and put themselves in that position? Because the defense played brilliantly on Saturday.
And really, the defense played pretty well the week before against San Diego.
Yes, they did. Only 16-0 going to the fourth, right? Two-possession game. We talked about it, right?
I think that the whole team came ready to play. And Coach Edge shared something in his news conference today that I thought was telling. In fact, I just tweeted out this sound clip. He said that technology can make such a difference in a positive direction, but he decided to make a change on the sideline. And these guys who are, looking at iPads the whole time they're not in the game, he said to the coaches, go over there, show them what they need to correct, then leave them alone, let them get back to watching the game, because he wants offense pulling for defense and defense for offense, special teams. He wants the whole team engaged and the whole sideline engaged. And I think there's something to that, and if you heard his post-game interview, he got emotional talking about how these players played for each other. And that triggered a memory for me from that morning when the team chaplain, Cam Lamanuzzi, did something I've never seen him do. And not all the team is in there. It's voluntary. It's a good chunk of the team, but not the whole team. But he had the guys, before he ever shared anything, he had them pair up an offensive player with a defensive player and pray for each other. And you could hear and see and feel, you know, that connection. So I think the team had a deeper bond. That made a difference. You know, we're kidding ourselves if we pretend that Maddox Mattson getting knocked out of the game didn't impact it. It changed the way, you know, the play callers made decisions the rest of the game. Defense, you can be a little more aggressive. Offense, you can be a little more conservative, right? It changed the game when he went out. There's no question. So Fresno State had a dominating performance. And really, Boise State, in its FBS era, has never been dominated to that degree on its home field. So that was a historic victory. So satisfying for the players, the coaches. I thought Coach Entz did a great job today at that news conference of letting everyone who deserves a little credit receive some credit. And, you know, he talked about video staff and the whole program. He called it a program win over a good program in Boise State. And I think he's right. And hopefully that generates some momentum. So can they do it against Wyoming? Yeah. Can they do it against Utah State? Yeah. Can they do it against San Jose State in a passing game that's really coming alive for the Spartans? Yeah, I believe they can. But the catch is they have to do it in all three. And so they need to be focused in on the task at hand. Can't let it become bigger than it is. And I thought on Saturday they did a phenomenal job of seizing the moment. A great team victory. And once you've tasted that and you taste the difference of when you really are united, you really are together, you're really playing for each other, some teams never go back. So let's all hope that that's the case with this team.
Well, as we have discussed throughout the tenure of Matt Entz, which is brief, understandably, because it's his first year, but that the model that I saw this team aspiring to was a team that drove me crazy, the 1990 New York Giants, because they stole the three-peat from the 49ers. Actually, Roger Craig handed it to them by fumbling with 2:38 to go in the game. That's another story that I only bring up every freaking day. But the thing about that Giants team is they sometimes had stats that were not exactly impressive. But what they did do, A, they played great defense. Belichick was the DC, and, of course, Bill Parcells was the coach. But they had an offense that just didn't make mistakes. So even though at times they wouldn't put a lot on the board, they shortened games, they did not beat themselves, they always won the turnover battle, and by the end of the day you turned around and said, how did they beat us? But they did. And by the time Norwood had missed the field goal wide right, the Giants had a Super Bowl championship. And I bring this up because the stats for Fresno State offensively did not look great, particularly through the air. But, Paul, the turnover margin was exactly what Entz wanted. So, in a way, though you want more offense, certainly the 30 points is great. You want more through the air. Was this the thing that he has been striving for, to play mistake-free ball and not hand things to the other club's offense? And this defense, if you have to go the length of the field, is a really tough one to deal with. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and he was clear today. You know, they have a lot of room for improvement. And, you know, he was asked about the lack of passing stats. And nobody in the modern era can remember a game where the Bulldogs passed for 35 yards
right
and won. That doesn't happen in college football very often, outside of maybe a service academy game the last 25 years. But that, again, speaks to complementary football and situational decisions. So did they change the plays they called because of the position they're in? Absolutely. They didn't have to take as many chances. But Coach Entz also pointed out the contributions that Carson Conklin made that didn't show up in a stat sheet. There's no stat on the post-game box for the number of audibles, for the number of times a quarterback changed protections or changes play calls based right on what he sees the defense lining up in. And he said, this number may surprise a few people, he said there were maybe 30 times that Conklin checked into a run play because of the defensive alignment. And so, you know, that's a big difference. The way they ran the ball was effective. They made some changes in the run game. If you listen to our broadcast, you've heard
Coach Hill advocating for lining the backs up a little deeper, giving them more time to read. And, you know, particularly for Donaldson and Ramirez, Luke doesn't need it because he's got a different style. That was something that they did. The offensive line played a great game. There were no sacks. But the defensive line dominated what's supposed to be the best offensive line in the Mountain West. It was really impressive on all sides of the ball. Dylan Lynch exercising some blue turf demons from the bowl game and having a perfect day. Nick Verdugo, again, has been a special teams MVP, working so well with that coverage unit. And I think that coverage unit was a little juiced up because the guy returning everything was their old buddy Malik Sherrod. I mean, there were everything that was supposed to happen, every moment of focus for that team, offense, defense, special teams, was exactly where it's supposed to be. And that was a great team win that all those players and certainly the Red Wave will remember for a long time.
Well, there's one thing, Paul, that anybody watched the game, I don't care whether you're watching it from the Boise side or the Fresno State side emotionally, and that is that that sellout crowd was taken out of the game and never got in the game. And it's something that's so critically important because we saw the same thing happen in the title game in 22. The Bulldogs went up to the Smurf Turf and basically just took that crowd out. The crowd wanted to get involved, but the defense would not allow them to, and it happened again. And, yes, I'm with you, and I know that the rejoinder from Boise is Madsen was out, and I understand that. I get it. Also, we had talked that Marshall was not going to be there because of disciplinary reasons, so they were not at full strength. But, you know, again, that thing, this time of year, you know, November, the Sweeney line, you know, the games to remember played in November. But also, there's no team, Paul, that's at full strength at this point, and I'm not going to minimize Madsen out because he's a very resourceful guy. But the point is they were dominated at the point of attack, Boise was, in a way that they're not used to seeing in this conference where they had that long win streak. So I would purport that Fresno State is more than capable of being the team that sits in that second spot. I don't think anybody can catch San Diego State. I know they go to the islands and they have Boise State coming into San Diego the following week. But, Paul, this team is good enough, Fresno State is, to get it done if they can get a little bit more from that passing game. So what is the MO, in your opinion, to get more out of the passing game?
Well, I think it helps to have the bye week to work on that, right? They found a few answers by employing the screen game, something they probably haven't done as much of as they could this year, so they tapped into that. You want to have more of a vertical threat to keep defenses honest. And so, yeah, you've got an extra week of practice to work on that, to get Carson Conklin more confident, to keep E.J. Warner sharp because he's a big hit away from going back in the ball game. I really feel for Jaden Mandel, Tony, because, you know, we talked all through fall camp about how tight that competition was.
Right.
You heard me say that he was the one of the three with the most upside. But what he didn't have was Warner's in-game experience, and I think that tilted the table. And since then, you know, Jaden in practice has had an arm injury that he has not been able to play. So I don't see that changing anytime soon. I know he's doing everything within his power to get healthy. He would be a guy who has the deep ball ability, something we really haven't seen consistently from the other two. He's also a really good runner. But I think right now, I mean, the message has been Conklin is the guy. So what you need to do is know what his limitations are. Find opportunities to stretch the field as far as you can. Don't try to have him do things he's not capable of doing. And, you know, again, with every rep, every snap, he's building confidence. So the fact that Coach Entz emphasized his ability to correctly read a defense pre-snap and get them into the right call, that's big. That's probably the most under-mentioned element of a successful quarterback, and to know that that's part of his repertoire at this point is encouraging. But he knows he needs to make better throws, needs to be able to keep the defense honest, and I know he's going to be working really hard, you know, these next 2 weeks. So we'll see. Maybe they have a few other tricks up their sleeves, but, you know, we've gotten a taste of both of those quarterbacks. Don't think we're going to get to see number 7 this year, but stranger things have happened. So I'm as anticipative as you are of seeing how this unfolds when the Dogs host Wyoming on a 7:30 November 15th kick here in a couple of weeks.
And one of them note, because I do want to ask you about basketball coming up tonight. Of course, Paul will be on the air as well for the Fresno State broadcast. But Malik Sherrod, and we talked about it when he was here, particularly the USC game, and I know that when he played that game at the Coliseum, he was just a handful of minutes away from where he grew up, and I get it, and he was playing against a lot of guys he had known his entire life. And even though the Bulldogs were back on the scoreboard, Malik was letting everybody know about his ability, et cetera. And that's fine, and it works out nicely when you win. But I will say this, Paul, you also serve to fire up the other team. And I thought, though Malik was certainly giving it everything he had, and I'm going to let go his decision to go to Boise, that's up to him. A lot of people are moving around. I don't hold it against him. But I do think that he helped the Bulldogs emotionally, Paul, by doing a lot of yapping. Am I right about this?
A whole lot of yapping, Tony. And he had the 44-yarder and got to yap a little bit, but they shut him up pretty good after that. There were quite a few negative plays, and he seemed pretty gun-shy in the return game, other than that one kickoff he decided to bring out of the end zone.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy, you love him when he's your teammate and you hate him when he's against you. And so he will bring both sides to the table in that regard. And look, we wish him well. He is a good guy, but he is someone who definitely will let you know about things. And if I'm a coach on the other side, I like that, particularly on the road. I want to have somebody of that home team doing that, because I know it means that my team is fully involved in shutting him up, as you mentioned, which helps a great deal as long as you don't cross the line. And Paul, not enough can be said about not only not making critical mistakes with turnovers, but there weren't personal fouls and those types of things. Yes, there were some procedure penalties, but the Bulldogs did not beat themselves anywhere close to it for four quarters. That's the first time this year I think you can say that in conference. I know that's critically important going forward, no matter who you might play.
Yeah, I think so. And no matter who you might play, you know, you're back to that conference championship thing. They just need to focus on those three games and getting the wins and trust that the dominoes are going to fall. You know, New Mexico, what a year for Coach Eck, and congrats to the Lobos. First ever first-year head coach to take them to a bowl game. Huge road win at UNLV. But a lot of things can still happen. You know, the Dogs have the tiebreaker over Hawaii, and San Jose State's win helped there. But there's going to be a few more moving pieces. And the team that's sitting pretty is San Diego State. And if the Bulldogs are fortunate enough to get the help to make a Mountain West title game, good chance at this point it's going to be in San Diego in a rematch against the only team to ever shut the Bulldogs out in that stadium. So that would be a fun storyline too. But first things first, they got to be ready for Wyoming, a team that plays really physical, has a whole lot of grit, and is going to challenge them at the line of scrimmage. So I think the most impressive thing to me in Boise was how Fresno State won the line of scrimmage in both directions.
And I'll tell you what, Paul, you're right about that, and that's why, as much as I don't want to be unfair to the Boise State people about Madsen, you have to win the battle at the line. And for whatever the reason, Boise State's reputation did not manifest itself. Fresno State outplayed them at the line of scrimmage. Also, to your point, the way this conference is structured this year, Paul, there is nobody you can be sure that you can beat if you don't show for four quarters. It just doesn't work that way. Even San Diego State, and I'm with you, I believe sincerely, I don't know what will happen on the islands, because Hawaii, I'm sure, if they don't make it to the final two, will lament the end of that Fresno State game, not getting the two-point conversion. But San Diego State not only goes to the islands, when they come home, I don't think Boise State has a chance in the world to beat them the next week. We'll see. But they also have New Mexico still, so they don't have an easy row to hoe. But for the Bulldogs, I think you're absolutely right. If you don't pay attention for four quarters, then you can find yourself being beaten even at home. I love their chances at home the next 2 weeks. And if it plays out that way, I have to ask you, are we going to see the loser leaves the playground in San Jose on the 29th of the month, Paul? Is that what we're going to see potentially here? Because Spartans looked pretty good the other night.
It could be. And they've, you know, their pass game, it's kind of a throwback. I mean, they had 20 completions for over 450 yards the other day. That's a big play offense.
I don't know if they'll still be in position to contend for a championship game at that point, but if they keep throwing the ball like that, they might be. And, you know, we don't know if the Bulldogs are going to win all three of these either. So it's
right.
Let's see what things look like after next week. Just so happy for all the guys to see, you know, I think I mentioned this on the air, that you couldn't help but make the Dickensian parallel to a tale of two cities, you know. Fresno the Saturday before, Boise that Saturday, best of times, worst of times. And when you see young men who invest so much get to experience those kind of moments, to know what it means to their families and the fan base, that was special. And who knows what other special moments it's going to lead to. But I'm excited to see what basketball can do tonight in the season opener. A lot of people are juiced for that women's opener as well. And, you know, you started out talking World Series. I don't know if everyone has heard yet that the Bulldog Baseball Alumni Golf Tournament is moving up to this month. It's 2 weeks from today on November 17th. So people that haven't gotten that memo, especially if you're a Bulldog Baseball alum, you want to be there November 17th. You can sign up at GoBulldogs.com. But that's always one of my favorite days of the year, seeing so many alumni back. And I think that'll be particularly fun with the kind of years a bunch of Bulldog alums had in the big leagues this season.
No doubt. Also, it may still be 80 degrees the way things are going. That would not be a bad deal either. We'll see. Well, one other football note before we talk basketball, Paul, and it's something we have addressed. I understand completely why broke down out of divisions, because you had the inequity sometimes. But the one advantage divisional play had, and it manifested itself last year when we lined them all up and took the top two. In divisional play, you knew that the tiebreaker would be head-to-head because you played everybody in division. Once more this year, the possibility exists we could see a second-place tie with two teams that did not play one another. And, Paul, that leads us to the kind of head-scratching we saw last year. I hope that does not happen this year. I hope it isn't an apples-to-oranges comparison. That is the one great drawback of not being in divisional play.
Although if it were in divisional play, the Bulldogs would have a longer road because of the Aztec lead.
That's correct.
But yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's going to be especially intriguing if a second-place tie happened to include one team that's remaining in the Mountain West moving forward and one team that's not. But let's wait and see what happens. Let's see if they can put together another performance like that. Let's see if they can continue to improve offensively and develop more of a passing threat. Because, you know, the win was satisfying, but the coaches are hard at work. They know that other defenses are going to key on the run game and try to force Fresno State to beat them through the air. So they know they have to improve in that element of the offense.
Yeah, and you're right about the situation. Now, of course, the schedule would be different for everybody as well if we were in divisional play. But it is a situation where, whether it's Fresno State or anybody else, you don't want what happened to San Jose State last year to happen again. And I can't believe I'm saying you don't want that to happen to San Jose State. That's an amazing statement. So, yeah. Anytime you're talking about San Jose State and San Diego State, Paul, it's hard to judge them as brethren, though they are, right, technically? Or is that really not the case anymore?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, though, too, when the relationships deepen, when you get to know the people on the other side, it's a little easier to take off those rose-colored glasses. And, you know, like the other day in Boise. I mean, I listened to Spencer Danielson's post-game comments.
Right.
And he owned it, right? He apologized to the fan base. He brought up how much people had saved to go to the game. He told them that's not the standard. He gave Fresno State credit for being the more physical team, for dominating the line of scrimmage. And he said, you know, that his team had to be better. And I respect that. He's an easy guy to root for. And there are a lot of those people. Coach Neil Montalolo at San Jose State, same kind of deal, right? Throughout this league, when you get to know these guys, for the most part, they're almost all really easy to pull for.
Well, we'll see what happens. Fresno State, I'm convinced, if they are able to win three straight, and it is one play at a time, one game at a time, we get it. They win the last three, they're going to find themselves, in my opinion, at Snapdragon playing for the conference title in another shot at San Diego State. Long way to go, but we'll see how it plays out. It's just great to be back in the hunt, and a lot of people felt, and probably justifiably so, that the end of the competitive part of the conference season would have been last Saturday at Boise. Was not the case for Fresno State, and the team and the coaching staff deserve all due credit. All right, Paul, basketball-wise, what are you looking for tonight? I know the team Played a couple of scrimmages. One of them, they gave up 120, but that's when Vance was trying to press when he knew he really did not have the guys to do that. The other was a win over Cal Poly. Neither of those mean anything. What are you looking for tonight against Fresno Pacific? I think the Bulldogs win the game, but what would you like to see from the team itself tonight?
Well, I think they better win the game, right? Because I know how intense Fresno Pacific is. This is a Super Bowl for the Sunbirds, right? And T.J. Haydock had some success. Did I just call him T.J.? C.J. Haydock has had some success over there. And those guys have some time on the floor together. You've got a lot of local young men. And the style that Fresno State's going to play this year, relying so heavily on the three-point shot, makes the Bulldogs more vulnerable to the upset. Now, it also makes them more likely to pull an upset, because on their great shooting days, they're going to beat somebody that you don't think they should beat. But on their poor shooting days, they're going to lose to somebody you don't think they should lose to. That's just reality with how frequently the three-point shot is going to be taken. I think more than half the shot attempts this year for the Bulldogs are going to be from three. So, with that said, if the Sunbirds come in and shoot the lights out and Fresno State has a tough day shooting, this could be a fourth quarter, you know, a late second half game because of the college rules. So I think Fresno State needs to be ready for that, needs to come out and try to land a knockout blow early, not give the Sunbirds any ideas that they can pull off that upset. Because these Bulldogs haven't really played together, right? A couple scrimmages, their last one. They lost one of their best, most talented players to injury. So, you know, they need to come out sharp and execute. And hopefully that's what we'll see. And I think Bulldog fans will love the way they move the ball. Hopefully they'll love the way they shoot the ball, which is greatly improved from last year. And, they need to grow defensively and in rebounding. And that will be something good to see today, too. If they can win the rebounding battle tonight, if they can force, 15-plus turnovers, I think that would build a little confidence on some areas of the game that are going to have to be consistent to win in conference play. I just think it's a great day for our community, Tony. I know the Sunbird fans are fired up. Bulldog fans, there's a big buzz about mayhem and Coach McCarthy's new style on the women's side. And you've got a lot of really intriguing young men on the guys' side that Bulldog fans haven't gotten to know too well yet, and I think are really going to enjoy getting to know. So it's exciting. It's going to be a fun night at the Save Mart Center.
In 5 o'clock, the women's game, 7:30 or thereabouts, the men's game. A couple of final notes, Paul. One, do you know, are they going to stream the game tonight with your radio feed on it? Are you aware of that, or do you not know for sure what they're going to do?
Yes, not only will it be streamed on the Mountain West Network, a simulcast of our radio broadcast with Coach Mark Q. Jones and our friend Taylor Martinez, but that's also going to be on over-the-air television with our friends from MyTV 53. So hopefully Bulldog fans are there in the building. Tickets are definitely reasonably priced, and you can get two games for the price of one with that women's men's doubleheader. But if for whatever reason you can't make it, you've got our radio broadcast. You can listen to the Sunbird broadcast on your air, and it will be on local TV on MyTV 53.
Well, we'll have the who's who of local broadcasting there. You're there. Q, of course, is there. Tell Mark I said hello. And Scott Bemis, Paul Metters will be on 790 tonight. And it's good. It's on 53, which should be for people with antennas over the air, 53.1. And, check the game out. And I hope people do go, because the women's team is going to play a very entertaining style. We know the men will as well. And the last question for you, Paul, is something I talked to Vance about both on and off the air. Zion Collins last year did an excellent job of setting up other players. He has to figure out when to go to his own offense, but last year he would set up other players and they would just miss open shots. This year, Paul, even though the Bulldogs are not going to be the most athletic team out there, they do have, as you mentioned, the perimeter shooters. Is this the year that Collins now steps forward where that playmaking doesn't result in a lot of clanging off the front iron, but rather guys taking the ball out of the bucket? Is this the year for that?
Absolutely. That's what it needs to be the year for. And I think he is going to be a great facilitator, but I think they need him to go beyond that. If they're going to have a chance to finish in the middle of the pack or higher in a really deep Mountain West, he's going to have to be more of an offensive threat himself. And he can't. He can take guys off the dribble. He's got a good shot. I think sometimes he just hesitates. He's always a pass-first guy mentally. So there need to be times where he's thinking, hey, this team needs me to score. Here's what they need from me right now. And, you know, think of some of the point guards we've seen in the league in recent years. Isaiah Stevens at Colorado State, Donovan Dent, who's now at UCLA but was so good for the Lobos last year. If you watch a lot of their games, they would start out the first 10 minutes or so really focused on that facilitation of their teammates, but then they would go into beast mode occasionally offensively and make sure that other team was kept honest that, hey, I'm not just penetrating to kick it out. I may take it all the way to the rack, or you may have to come out to the three-point line to defend me because I'm going to knock it down. And Zion has that in his skill set. I think the more confident that he becomes in it, the more dangerous this team is going to become.
I agree with you completely. I told Vance he needs to look for his offense. And I'll tell you what, he has Jake on the perimeter now, and 4, 5, 6 in a row from three will make it real easy decision-wise to know when to go to your offense. It'll be if and when the well goes dry. If not, keep feeding the guy out behind the arc, then worry about it afterward. Paul, appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great one tonight, and I hope it is a good bye week for Fresno State football getting healthy, and we'll see. I like their chances down the home stretch, but you're right, going to have to prove it over 12 quarters. Going to be very, very intriguing. Appreciate it, my friend, as always. Take care.
Keep smiling, Tony, and don't forget, everybody listening, not only can you see the women's team and the men's team tonight, you can see the milk can trophy that the Dogs held on to and brought back from Boise, and fans are going to have a chance to take their pictures with the milk can. So I think that's going to be fun. You get a taste of what those moments between the lines really mean to the people who really make it happen. Because without the Red Wave, without this community, there is no Fresno State Athletics. So things like that tonight, hats off to the athletic department for making that trophy available for the fans to celebrate with.
Get started at 5 o'clock tonight. Paul, appreciate it. Have a great week, my friend. I'll be in touch. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
All right, guys. Paul Leffler, take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule for both stations, which includes, by the way, the doubleheader of Fresno State and Fresno Pacific. I'll get to that lineup for you after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 51, about 4 minutes so ago in the show. Very quickly, thanks in email land to great friends JJ, to Robert P., to Robert S., to Rick P., to Clovis Dave, to Steve from Clovis. Steve, you and I conversed privately about that 17.5. That 17.5 was back up the Brinks truck going in, as you know, and I hope you did back up the Brinks truck in Vegas on your way to Boise and cashed in big. Just make sure the IRS made you sign what you had to sign in order to take your millions out of that race book there. That's all I want to say. Okay, the other things. To Benito, Pat Hill's horse sound effect is like fine tailgate red wine. I'll be sure to mention that to Paul. I didn't get a chance to tell him about that going in. And to our buddy TJ. TJ, I'll tell you what, if Brandon Ramirez has a career like Tom Rathman, TJ said, let's change Brandon from 31 to 44. If he could have a career like Tom Rathman had, I'm right with you, because Tom Rathman is fine a fullback as we have seen in the NFL since Lorenzo Neal first jumped aboard as well. And, of course, Rathman part of that great 49er group, but Ramirez, a very impressive guy physically, and I love the way he runs. And thanks for the emails. We'll get to all of them during the week the best I can. Jackson, of course, will be with me tomorrow. All right, reminder time. First of all, I want to thank Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, allowing us the time to tell you about the schedule again. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Again, great fundraiser, Ed, is for his alma mater, Fresno State, and for the Lyles College of Engineering. The goal, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and a lot of those individuals, male or female, that go through the engineering department at Fresno State through Lyles College of Engineering end up working for Precision Civil Engineering, and we commend Ed for everything he does for the university. As far as the lineup goes, again, as I mentioned, on 790 tonight, beginning at 4:45, it'll be Scott Bemis, Paul Metters. They'll have both games for you. Fresno Pacific with the men's and women's teams playing will have that first game with the women at 4:45. They'll tip it at 5 at SMC. Around 7:30 it'll be time for the men's game. And as Paul mentioned, you've also got the game on themw.com or over the air on Channel 53, which is 53.1. So I hope you check out the game. I hope you get to SMC. If you can't, you know, then the way to listen and to watch the game tonight, and we will talk about it with Jackson tomorrow. The other part of the lineup, Phil, normally 3-6 with his outstanding show behind the bench. 90 minutes today, as they'll have a little bit of time to get ready for the broadcast on 790. But it is Major Wager Monday tonight, so it means Carter and the gang at Me and Ed's Victory Grill. That would be Cedar in Dakota, Granite Park. Great food, big screen TVs, a lot of fun, great giveaways. Big game, Cardinals and the Cowboys will have the radio feed for you. Westwood won the game television-wise on both ESPN and ABC. And keep in mind, on Thursdays, Phil is always at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. The great conversation of Phil's show, the best furniture you're going to find anywhere, nothing like it in all of California. Some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. Also reminds you that Phil, Paul Metters, and when the Bulldogs are home, and I guess this week with the Bulldogs being on the bye, Pat Hill will be with them. It will be Friday Night Lights as we roll in to the stretch run and the playoffs for high school football. Boy, it gets here in a big, big hurry, that's for sure. Other reminders, speaking of football, you have got the 49ers and the Rams coming up on Thursday. Raider games as well. We always have the Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night games for you. Everything right through the Super Bowl. Lakers are back with us. We'll have everything right through the NBA Finals through ESPN Radio and the Laker broadcast. The Sharks, of course, have been underway for a few weeks. They'll still be with us. Everything going on high school-wise, beyond football, then basketball and baseball as well. Paul Metters has two outstanding shows, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, 6-7 on our sister station, the Deuce 790 on Wednesdays, and then the long-running show on 1430 Saturday morning live from First String Sports, Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. Get the live links and the podcast there, and get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And now the final thank yous before we hand it off to Phil, and then football on 1430, basketball on 790. Want to thank, again, everybody at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They're right now in the midst of the throwback to the late 90s. Boy, I wish it were the late 90s, because I would be young instead of old. Unfortunately, the inevitable has happened, ladies and gentlemen, but I still love KFC. All right, I could still rage KFC, and right now they have the great honey barbecue flavor on everything. Talking about the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and of course those crispy golden pieces, you know and love, 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. It's always finger licking good. And also the two specials that have been going on for a good long while. Tuesday's $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer, and Wednesday's country fried steak for $5.99, and also chicken sandwiches every day, $3.99 right now. Great chance to stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman and tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the valley. Thank yous also go out, of course, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And one more time, you can reach Phil on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Stay tuned for Phil. And also stay tuned for football and basketball on the two stations. We'll see you with Jackson tomorrow. Thanks to Jorge, as always, for his great work. And thanks, of course, to our great friend Paul Leffler. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.